May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I'm never really quite sure if I would have got on with the Apostle Paul. I like him a lot, but he never ceases to amaze me with his zeal for the gospel. I think I might find him rather tiring if I met him in reality. He must have been quite an intense individual. Paul was relentless in his ministry, and he wrote to the Corinthians a description of what he has accomplished for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember from what Lawrence read to us, there's quite a list, isn't there? Paul has endured many things for the sake of the gospel. He has endured floggings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, stoning, hunger, danger, and sleepless nights, to name but a few of these things he has experienced for the sake of Jesus Christ. He describes himself here as a fool and has previously described himself in the first letter to the Corinthians as a fool for Christ. He challenges the Corinthians to do the same as he has done and to commit to the gospel unceasingly. His faith is real and is reflected in his actions, actions that sometimes test his faith, his endurance, and his motivations. Now, if we're honest, we probably don't like the word fool very much, do we? We don't really want to be described as a fool in any way. The dictionary tells us that the word fool came into Middle English from the old French word folle, meaning fool or foolish, and ultimately it came from the Latin for bellows or windbag. Now, I'm sure we wouldn't describe Paul as a windbag, but I wonder if any of his contemporaries would have agreed with that description. Did they find him hard to work with and listen to at times? He certainly would have challenged those around him, and he may have not been popular as a result. All the things he did were not easy, and I suspect many of us would have given up, especially at the first sign of personal danger. Now, this idea of foolishness is also carried on in our gospel this morning. Why, I wonder, does the sower spread the seed so generously and abundantly? He sows the seed everywhere, doesn't he? Why doesn't he just pick those places that are fruitful? He could have concentrated on the good soil and ignored the bad. Why bother throwing seeds on the path, the rocks, or the thorns? It sounds like utter foolishness, doesn't it, to waste seeds on soil that will ultimately not be fruitful. However, I believe this tells us something about God's abundant love for us. We often hear about the enormity of God's love for us, but I don't think we always grasp what that really means. Of course, it means that Christ died, the Son of God died for us, but we fail to understand this and sometimes turn away. However, God still tries to grab our attention. He calls us to him constantly, calls us to turn away from sin and follow him. Whatever kind of soil we are, whether we are the path, the rocks, or the thorns, God still tries to sow the seeds in our hearts. So we can learn here that foolishness comes in all shapes and sizes. I've been thinking a lot lately in these COVID times about what I do as a priest and a vicar. I've been thinking about what makes a difference and what doesn't. And it's difficult to answer those questions in this time of pandemic. But I have had some ample opportunity to reflect on what I do and how and why I do the things that I do. And sometimes this can be useful and sometimes this can be destructive. But having that time has been useful, but I've had to realise that God knows our hearts and we must, as Paul did, just give our best. We mustn't worry about the outcome and the effects of what we do. We must just trust. We don't know the effects of our actions in the world. Only God knows that. I believe that Paul would encourage us today to work unceasingly for the gospel today as he did then. We don't have to understand why we do the things we do. We just have to act in faith. Now, Jesus knew that many people wouldn't understand everything he said. And this is why he tells us that he spoke in parables. He used imagery and symbols that were relevant to the people of the day. I suppose you could argue that they could have been described as foolish, because looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand. However, they are no different to us, and if they are fools, so are we. But fools can experience and show wisdom. One of my favourite songs is The Fool on the Hill by the Beatles. Many of you will have heard that, I'm sure. The song is about a man who is considered a fool by others, but whose foolish demeanour is actually an indication of wisdom. The song was written, apparently, when Paul McCartney was walking through the hills with his friend and his dog, incidentally called Martha. While walking, Paul saw a man standing on the hill, staring into the sunset. The man ignored Paul and was seemingly dazed by the sunset. He couldn't take his eyes off it. When Paul turned back towards him, the man was gone. It was even more surprising, as before Paul and his friend were talking, they were discussing the existence of God. So Paul wrote a song about it. A man whose foolish actions really display wisdom. That man saw something beautiful in the sunset and just couldn't take his eyes off it. So to conclude, foolishness can be the way to wisdom. It's okay, ladies and gentlemen, to be a fool. I am a fool, and you can be a fool too, if you won't mind me saying. The wise fool, or the wisdom of the fool, is something that's quite common in literature, I found out. It's what we call a paradox, in which through a narrative, a character is recognised as a fool, but also is seen as a beholder of wisdom. If you think about popular culture, literature, films and things, you will often come up with wise fools. I'll let you think about that in your own good time. Because it's a recognisable trope in stories and artworks from antiquity to now. The wisdom of the fool often captures what reason fails to illuminate, and that's important for us to remember. Thus, the wise fool is often associated with wisdom found through blind faith, reckless desire, hopeless romance, and wild abandon. Now, out of all of that list, of course, blind faith is the one that appeals to me. It's that sense of actually not thinking too much, but actually just reacting in faith. Sometimes when we think, reason can cause problems, but faith gives us strength. So I wonder, are we today being called to be fools for Christ? Are we being told to be people of blind faith? Are we being told to be people like Paul, where we do everything for the gospel and concentrate on Jesus Christ in all that we do? I think we may be. And if you think so too, let's together be willing to be foolish. Amen.